The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too
excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. Based on the reaction on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, it seems like an awful lot of you out there are doing the bush wee.
The told you.
Outdoor zizzle. 800-990-3776 if you want to weigh in on that. Justin in Middleton saying, as someone who works in lawn care, that does not help your lawn.
You would think you would know this.
Yeah, lawn looks pretty good.
Okay. Dave from Aaron saying, I go outside as much as I can, doing my part to save water one flush at a time.
So how much is that, Dave? Dave, if you're still listening, text in. I want a percentage on the number of times you're going outside.
Because Chewy says he does 8 a day and 4 of them are outside. That's a 50%
rate. At least 4.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I mean, are we averaging out? Like sometimes you do 3, sometimes you do 5, and it averages out to about 50%.
Like right now I'm 1-to-1.
Yep.
One outside, one inside.
Okay.
So, probably one more here. I would say probably more outside. Because when I go home, the rest of the day will be outside.
What if it's raining?
They'll wash away quicker.
So you just... What about you getting wet?
Yes. Oh, I don't mind.
Wait, here's what I don't understand. We haven't really nailed down. Why is it so enjoyable to zizzle outside?
Because there's no target. Saving water.
I mean,
how many gallons are there in a flush now? In a normal toilet? It's got to be like 2. So if I'm going, that's a lot of water I'm saving. Jason agrees with me. Jason's got the minimal water toilet.
Sure, but I also don't think he's peeing outside 4 times a day.
Probably not as much as I do. The blammer everywhere. And that's embarrassing. It's a visual I really don't want.
Oh, okay. So it's okay for you to zizzle outside, but not for the blammer to zizzle outside. He's saving water, too, you know. You got a bunch of Greta Thunbergs over here who are just trying to save the planet.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Federal, just old.
Federal standard for gallons per flush is 1.6, but with recent advancements, it's down to 1.28.
Well, it's still a lot. You know,
1 gallon per flush?
One and a quarter.
Yeah, just a little higher than that. Yeah.
I pee outside once a year just to retain my man card. That coming from Dumpy in West Bend. Brandon.
So once a year.
Brandon, yeah, so the percentage is very low.
Very low for Dumpy.
Being a farmer and working outside all day, I bet 75% of my zizzles happen outside.
Yeah. Yep.
See, Dave weighing in also. I'm over 50% for going outside, mostly because I own a landscape company and there are no bathrooms. And in the evenings and weekends, I'm sure I'm well over 50%. He says he's golfing as well.
See, I told you.
See, but these people have excuses. They're working outdoors. You're sitting on your couch going, well, I gotta go.
It's actually a shorter walk to the front door than it is the bathroom.
Your so laziness is the actual cause here.
Who's responsible for cleaning your bathrooms?
The cleaning lady.
I was going to say, if you do it, then I can throw that in the other reason why you do it. You don't have to clean the bathroom as often.
Yeah, it's less dirty.
But if it's not you doing it, really, that goes out the window.
Plus, I'm only allowed in so many bathrooms in the house anyways.
Wait.
All right. Well, okay. So let me ask. Okay, so we start here. How many bathrooms do you have in the house?
5.
How many are you allowed to use?
Look at Gabe taking notes like he's your attorney.
2.
And why are the other 3 off limits?
Yeah.
And what makes them those 3 the special ones that you can't use?
My wife thinks I'm disgusting.
We gathered as much.
I think that's about it. That's the only reason I got.
Any specific reason as to why she thinks you're disgusting and cannot use 60% of the bathrooms in your own home?
Because I'm not going to double flush. It's just wasting water.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
What about all the water you're saving by zizzling outside? Can't you take one of those?
My point. So the next time after the double, you go and wash it down with the ziz, and then you just saved 1.2 gallons of water.
Or just do the double flush and the next ziz is outside.
Right.
And then
it'd be flush 1 for 1.
It's kind of fun.
Sounds like you just like irritating your wife. Yes. Dave from Aaron saying probably taking 3 outside, 1 inside, unless it is raining outside or a blizzard. That was your follow up. You said
yes.
Weigh in, let us know.
You guys are taken aback by how many people
like me. I'm not going to lie, a little bit.
I mean, but at least again, the people that are texting in that are up near or above the 50% make sense. Landscaping, garbage, like spending a lot of time outside. Where you're spending the 8 hours outside. And again, it's not like there's a bathroom on the garbage truck. You just have to find a spot where, yeah, you got to go. Nature calls. You got to do your thing.
Well, then why be we being so critical of the guy at the gas station? Just stay.
Because that feels like not a place to pee.
Because literally, if you would have walked, I don't know, 20 steps, there would have been a toilet inside where he could have relieved himself.
He was Chewy's saying that was disgusting, so that's probably why he chose to do zizzle outside opposed to going inside.
But now the gas station outside is disgusting.
Ugh. Now the next person who walks
it's
up is just
saline.
It's your sign through
not.
Someone's
definitely
yeah.
not.
That's disgusting.
Nope. It's definitely not just
again,
saline.
Now you peeing in your yard is different than somebody whizzing on the concrete that somebody inevitably moments later is going to pull up into,
but the gas
get out
is
of their
worse.
Car.
Would you rather have zizz on your shoes or gas? Gas is going to reek the rest of. No, yeah.
I think I'd rather have gas than
somebody else's whiz
bodily fluids on my shoes.
Ronnie wants to know if peeing in a pool counts as peeing outside.
Good question. Very good question. The answer is yes, it does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think you need a roof over your head.
Jeremy's saying 25 to 30% of my peas are outside. I go when I take the dog out. That's another way of describing it.
Now, I can say this.
The dog to go and then, well, as long as the dog's going, I might as well.
I've never peed in my own pool.
Wait a minute. Just other people's pools?
I'm just saying, I never peed in my pool.
You would never. Do you think? Okay, so then do you think people are returning the favor? You're peeing in their pool, so they're peeing in your pool?
Possibly, but I told you, I have a friend in Florida who monitors how much alcohol you drink while in a pool, and he'll ask you to get out and go to the bathroom.
No, you've never told us that.
I never told you that?
Yeah.
Because he was asking Frank.
Frank thought he was weird, but it was just because he didn't
want to pee. Well, he is weird, but he was in the CIA, so Frank could disappear. If he ever zizzled in this guy's pool.
Why don't you just buy the chemical that when somebody does in the pool, it does the thing?
Yeah, that's a lie.
I was going to say, is that chemical real?
That's a
lie. I saw it on grown-ups.
I think there would be like...
tested it before.
Pardon me if I don't accept the movie Grown-Ups as factual truth of something happening and they're not just doing something for a
Kevin
bit.
Kevin James was laying in the water. It's big purple blob starts coming out of the spot where he's in.
I'm sure they could do it.
I think you would be surprised by the amount of things that kind of just leak out of the body.
I wouldn't. I have 3 children. You start dancing a little too violently and things are leaking out of the body.
Yeah, just like my dog.
Hey, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got power rankings with the big guy coming up next. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
My goodness. Talk a little Christian Watson. Talk a little Craig Council. Folks are listening. Folks are respectful. Talk a little bit about zizzling outside. This lights up. Just popping off. People got all kinds of things to say about taking a whiz outside. Jay weighing in saying, when I get home from a gig at 2 a.m., unload the truck and zizzle outside in the cool air. It's glorious. One less thing to do when I get in the house that might wake up the wife.
Very considerate.
Yes. Altruistic, if you will.
Peeing that loud?
You go in the grass. Then there's no like...
Well, yeah, but like... You're peeing inside. Like, you're not waking anybody
loud.
Up.
Yes, yes.
The flush of the toilet.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe the flush of the toilet.
Hitting the water, depending on your stream, that can be loud also. I also want to let you guys know, the number of people who have adopted Zizzle in the talking
section.
It's pretty incredible. I feel like you got a whole following here of people who are now calling whizzing zizzling.
Great word.
Put that to chewy words.
Zizzle.
Gabe
is that zizzle. Zizzle arrogance? No?
No. Okay. No, we haven't reached the zizzle arrogance yet.
Okay. Gabe is the administrative assistant here on the show. Yes. He's got all sorts of lists in his computer. Time to do power rankings, speaking of lists.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, in honor of Jen's big night last night, from the American Addiction Centers, okay, based on holidays, I want to know.
It's gonna be so good.
Ranked, and there's 10 of them. One is kind of an event more than a holiday, but they have it grouped under
Super
holiday. The average number of drinks, you don't have to guess the average number, but you got to give me the holiday. The average number of drinks consumed by holiday, and there's 10 of them. You guys should get this.
Okay. So
the biggest, booziest holidays.
So would that be, so it would, based on what you said about number one, my guess would be Whiskey Wednesday. That's kind of paired up with Thanksgiving. Like that Wednesday before Thanksgiving is always like the biggest drinking day.
I'll give it to you because you probably won't get it. Number one.
Wait, what are we doing? Are we not doing the list anymore?
No, just number one because it's not really a holiday and you'd probably never get it. Number one is Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay.
4.5 drinks consumed on average by people. In what, an hour?
Isn't Mardi Gras a holiday, though? Like, it's a celebration of
something. Well, it's Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday, yeah. So just give me
Tuesday before Lent, right?
The next night.
Okay, so for sure St. Patrick's Day is on this
list. St. Patrick's Day is number three with 4.2 drinks consumed.
For sure, amateur hour New Year's Eve is on this list.
New Year's Eve is number two with 4.4 drinks consumed.
4th of July? People drinking on
4th of July, 3.8. That is number four.
Also, ooh, yesterday.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is number six, 3.3.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is number 10, 2.7.
What? Wow, Thanksgiving low on the list. You would think that just the idea of family gathering would increase the level of alcohol consumed.
But isn't the Wednesday before Thanksgiving the biggest night out?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I was saying.
But
yeah,
they
Wednesday
should group those two together.
Yeah. So they're probably hung like a buffalo.
Which is what you're saying. That's why people aren't drinking.
Correct.
On Thanksgiving. Interesting, interesting. Okay. Drinking. Mardi Gras. No, not Mardi Gras. We already said Mardi Gras. Margaritas. Cinco de Mayo. I got there eventually again.
Cinco, my favorite, my personal favorite holiday when it comes to imbibing is number five with 3.5 drinks consumed.
Five?
Yes.
So now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
We have
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 10. 3, 4. You don't have 5. Sorry, that was 6.
Wait, so it's Memorial Day.
You got
Day.
7.
Okay, Memorial Day 7.
And you got 10. Yes.
Okay, so we don't
not
have
many
five
holidays left.
Well, that's the thing, but are people boozing on Christmas?
People are probably boozing on Labor Day.
Okay,
same thing as Memorial Day.
Labor Day is number eight at 3.2 drinks.
So, yeah, we're looking. I mean, Christmas. People are obviously boozing on Christmas.
Winter holidays, 3.1. That's number nine. So
winter
you're just missing
it's like
one.
Christmas and Kwanzaa and.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what winter holidays is?
People can do a Christmas party anywhere.
Hanukkah. Yeah, all that stuff. You only have one left.
Can you reset the list, please?
One Mardi Gras, two New Year's Eve, three St. Paddy's, four Fourth of July, six Cinco, seven Memorial, eight Labor, nine winter holidays, 10 Thanksgiving.
Okay, hold on. We're missing a holiday. What are we missing? Because we've got Memorial Day, we've got Labor Day.
I wouldn't think of this as a booze holiday, and it's number five.
We've got Christmas, we've got Thanksgiving, we've got New
Year's. What
are
we talking about, Columbus Day?
young people like this holiday more than necessarily
young
older
people like this.
Oh, young
holiday.
People are boozing, so like mm-hmm. my kiddos are out.
No, oh. High school and college. And
high school boozing.
Yeah, I boozed on this holiday in high school.
People who repeat a grade that gets them up to 21.
trying to think days that we used to drink back.
Big in Madison. Let's just say it's very big in Madison.
Oh, Halloween.
Halloween is number 5.
What?
Yeah, Halloween.
Come on.
Yes.
More people are drinking on Halloween than are drinking on the what was the way they described it? Winter holidays? Find that very hard
some
to
people
believe.
Don't drink in front of their parents.
You obviously haven't been to Madison.
See, I was
have
go with,
been to Madison
on
Halloween.
That's very easy to believe.
I was going to go with this
saying
one.
That Madison is chewing up all the percentages.
Well,
every,
I'm guessing
every
that's,
person in Madison is drunk on Halloween.
Correct.
So.
I was going to go with this one. It's the percentage of women who binge drink.
What?
On these holidays. All right.
Wow. This is
so
a very specific study.
Number one, 40% of women binge drink on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
2, 4th of July, 24%. 3, 21, Mardi Gras. 4, St. Paddy's Day, 20%. Winter holidays, 18. Cinco, 13. Halloween, 12. Thanksgiving, 11. Jen, not a lot of people boozing with you yesterday.
I don't understand.
Memorial Day is 11, Labor Day 10.
What is binge drinking defined as? I don't understand. What's binge drinking? 3 drinks, 4 drinks, 5 drinks, more?
Binge drinking is defined as 5 or more drinks for men and 4 or more for women.
Oh, well,
in a 2-hour period.
Binge drinking yesterday.
Yeah. They made sure to put the 2-hour period in there, too.
I will just say this. My girlfriend was like, oh, your glass is empty. Poor. Phil, gone. Oh, your glass is empty. Poor Phil, gone. And it was going down so well that by the time I was like, how many glasses? She's like, oh, you had the bottle.
Yeah.
What was the drink of choice?
I don't know. Whatever she was giving me. I don't even know what it was.
See, the walking party is wonderful.
Walking party.
Where you don't have to drive. You can just walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then walk home.
Very close to our house. That's very nice.
Those are always fun.
Big fan of those.
Yeah.
And then you can pee on your way home, too.
Pee during a party.
Not at someone else's house.
I do it all the time.
Say, if you don't think
the least shocking thing I've heard
bushes,
today.
You crazy.
Have you tried Celsius energy drink yet? I imagine it would be helpful in the situation I am in as well. If you haven't, let me tell you about it. It's the way that you can stay active and energized all day long. I need it to get through this show. I need it for my fall college responsibilities, and I certainly need it on a morning like this. Peach Vibe is my go-to flavor, but there are plenty to choose from, so you can find your favorite flavor as well. And you can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. It is also the sponsor of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit?
Gotten?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know how good Palermo's and Screaming Sicilian are when it comes to pizza. Well, how about nothing but toppings? That's right, pizza bowls is something that is brand new from Screamin' Sicilian. No crust, just the toppings. They're ditching the crust with the new nothing but toppings pizza bowls. No crust, loaded with premium toppings, and it's ready in just 4 minutes in the microwave. It's that perfect quick snack or meal for those who are seeking low-carb or keto-style options. And because it's Screamin' Sicilian, you know you're going to have those options. Whether we're talking about multi-meat, Italian-style meatball, pepperoni, or supreme, you're going to get something that is absolutely delicious. All four flavors can be found exclusively at participating Kroger stores, Pick and Save, Metro Market, and Mariano's. So next time you're in one of those places, stop by the freezer aisle and check out the new Screamin' Sicilian Nothing But Toppings Pizza Bowls. When I'm holding your hand.
All you need to know about Angel Hernandez is that when you do a quick Google search of his name, these are the ways he is described in the articles announcing his retirement from Major League Baseball. Polarizing official, controversial umpire, much maligned umpire, oft criticized umpire. Like those are the ways that people describe Angel Hernandez. And yesterday it was announced that he is retiring immediately from Major League Baseball, to which there were players who were celebrating on social media. There were CeCe Sabathia has been a very vocal critic of Angel Hernandez. He was kind of celebrating the fact that he is now not going to be a factor in these games going forward. And I said this to you guys. I can't imagine devoting any sort of length of time, decades, to a profession. And then finally, when you walk away, the general vibe, the general sentiment is good riddance. Like, what a waste of a career. I think everybody goes into their professions, their jobs, hoping that when they leave, people are like, that person was good at what they did. That person did a good job. We're sorry to see them go. That's not the case for Angel Hernandez. Was this some sort of like checkers and chess versus checkers thing by Angel Hernandez to like be remembered in his industry when officials so often do their job, names are never known, and that's how we expect it's supposed to be game?
I mean, if that was the case, that would just be another example of why Angel Hernandez is one of the worst officials you know. Because outside of football, like, because we see the official on television. He steps up to the microphone, plops it on, holding whatever, they throw the name on the bottom, so you get to know those names more than you would necessarily basketball in the NBA or football, or excuse me, or baseball with Major League Baseball. I mean, it's supposed to be an anonymous, you know, you live in anonymity. Now, that the best umpires, the best basketball officials, typically you're not going to know their name. But is it worse that all these people are celebrating, Jen, or is it worse when you spend all your years trying to perfect that craft, dedicate yourself to that craft, and a court of law told you that you're bad at your job?
I don't mind.
Because he tried suing Major League Baseball for racial discrimination.
Several years ago.
And twice it came back where the court's like, no, this isn't racial discrimination. You're just actually bad at your job. It's why you're not getting high profile in World Series games.
But I don't mind a official or an umpire or whatever having a little personality.
Sure.
But not when you're terrible.
Well, that's the thing. Your personality can't be that you're bad.
Exactly. Your personality should be the called third strike or Hercules Hockley, you know, giving his first down with his pipe. You know, I like that. I kind of like that. But I don't like the Angel Hernandez type. When you stink, but you still think you're the best?
Yeah.
I mean, what world are you living in?
Well, delusion.
Yes. But I like officials with a little
pizzazz.
Don't you?
Sure.
It has always been my take, and I think that time after time this has been proven, that athletes like yourself, Chu,
mm-hmm.
just want a guy who is doing his best, is fair, is consistent with the calls.
Correct.
And there will be a mutual respect. You respect what he does. He respects what you do. You both have to coexist. You both are a part of the game, the sport, whatever it is. And so even if at times athletes have wanted to get on officials, give them a tough time for a call blown here or there, you understand it's a tough job. They understand that what you do is a tough job. And you guys kind of can go about your merry ways in the same, sharing the space. With Angel Hernandez, it has been time after time after time after time of guys saying he doesn't get it. His calls are bad. And now, as we have talked about with the evolution of technology, you can see it immediately afterward. I mean, we joke about the Twitter accounts that show you the performance review essentially immediately after a game. And it was always missed it again, bad again, screwed him again. At some point, the athletes will not tolerate that anymore, is the point I'm trying to make. At some point, the athletes go, this isn't just a bad day. He's just bad at his job.
No, we only had one officiating crew where I'd said it a million times to him. I'd be like, look, they're not here to watch you, okay? Stop throwing damn flags. Because there was one officiating crew we knew, because we would always ask on a Friday or whatever, like, who's doing the game? And if it was this guy, we're like, well, great. There's going to be 16 penalties. They're going to call everything, think the fans are there to watch them, and it was the only crew, and they were not very good.
The best ones are the ones you can have a little bit of a dialogue back and forth with, right?
Yeah, and they're going to make bad calls. It happens, you know? But I like when a referee will warn you, you know, Chew, that hand's getting a little loose, you know, bring it in, instead of throwing the flag where that crew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you get it, you know, you don't always agree with it, but...
For as much fun as we have made of baseball at times, and Gabe, you have a famous line here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy about baseball, which is baseball is dumb.
Yeah, baseball's dumb.
Mm-hmm. Baseball's dumb.
I was trying to think of the different ones. They get in their own way. They baseball can't get out of their own way.
Baseball is stupid. Yeah. Baseball is ridiculous. Baseball is dumb. You could really substitute any of those synonyms in there if you want. But we always talk about gambling. And if baseball wants to be taken seriously and they want to be one of the top tier sports in this country because they have been losing ground over the last few decades, you cannot excuse away an umpire mm-hmm. who makes calls and you have people betting on your games. You can't just excuse that away anymore as, well, the union is so strong. The umpire union is so strong, we can't do anything about it. Hernandez only worked 10 games last season, this according to USA Today, because of a back injury, but he missed 161 calls in those 10 games.
Unbelievable.
According to umpire auditor.
Wait, is that an Onion article?
He had 3 calls overturned at first base in game 3 of the 2018 American League Division Series between New York and Boston.
I remember that.
Hall of Fame pitcher Pedro Martinez lambasted him on television after the game. This had to be done. The other thing I would argue, though, is why wasn't it done sooner, Gabe? Like, we always talk about how strong the union is, but, like, at some point, you just become a laughingstock.
So, but again, I guess the union is that strong. And from my understanding, this is part of a settlement he's finally reached with the lawsuits that he has brought against Major League Baseball. Is part of the settlement is he is indeed retiring. Now, again, he's trying to save it. This from Jeff Passan after Angel Hernandez did have a statement confirming his retirement. In that statement, he does say he has decided that he wants to spend more time with his family, which, again, is a good excuse to throw out there. We've seen that how many times with people in sports where they suddenly step away from something. Oh, I want to spend more time with my family. You can't push back on it because it's personal. You can't, you know... But then why didn't you want to spend more time with your family 2 months ago when the season started? Why did we have to go through 2 months of you doing games? Now suddenly you're deciding to step away. Something else kind of smells there. And again, it's
is it because the union is so strong?
It's the only explanation, Chew.
Why can't you say, all right, you're done behind the plate. You umpire third base and that's it. That's all you're doing.
I just don't understand how you don't get better. That's what's infuriating to me. If somebody came to me and was like, Jen, you're horrible at this, and people do, so let's just be clear about that. People will say you're very, very bad at
but
certain things.
Did a court tell you that?
Like holding a microphone, apparently. Whoopsies. We'll get to
did
that
you
in a
break
minute.
It?
That just came right off. No, it looks like it's threaded, so I just have to re-screw it. Anyway, my point, what I was trying to say was, you're telling me Angel Hernandez couldn't get better? You're telling me in the offseason he couldn't go watch film and be like, whoa, that was a bad call, and then adjust his strike zone or adjust, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's crazy to me is year in and year out, this guy knew that people thought he was one of the worst umpires, although statistically, I guess he was not the worst. There were others who were worse, but I digress. Why didn't you just get better?
Because a lot of times,
being the villain.
Honestly, I don't know if he could get better because yeah. It's not like a lot of these bad calls, especially when he's behind the plate, were like borderline pitches. These are like, I mean, the worst of the worst are just right down the middle, ball two.
I also think there's a level of arrogance
yes.
there mm-hmm. where if you think you're good and everyone else is wrong about you, despite, I believe they do, like the MLB grades them out. So they'll tell them you missed X amount of calls, balls, and strikes. Like the Twitter account that exists for it isn't unique. The MLB's doing that pretty much every game. So I don't know why. He was a personality. He was bombastic. He wanted to be a part of the game.
Yeah.
But then you've got guys, and we've talked about, you know, Jim Joyce is the example I always think of. Obviously, Jim famously made the bad call with Armando Galarraga all those years ago. It was like a decade ago at this point. And everybody to a man said that Jim Joyce was a great umpire. Like everybody, like Jim Leland, who was the manager of the Detroit Tigers yeah. for that game, was like, this was uncharacteristic for Jimmy Joyce because he was so good at what he did. Isn't Angel Hernandez a slap in the face to those guys?
Jim Joyce cried.
Yeah.
He cried. He felt so bad about that call.
You want to know what the difference is and why someone like Jim Joyce is? He came out and immediately said, I was
yeah.
wrong.
Yes.
Which you never hear them do anymore.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
Nobody. Nobody's ever yeah. gotten a call wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, from an umpire family group standpoint, you're telling me there's no pressure from those guys? You're telling me they're not calling them up and being like, hey, Angel, come on, man. Like, be better. Do better. You're making us all look bad. Like,
maybe, but again, once you're in the union, it's hard to kick somebody out of a union. And you have that union protection.
He seems to me like one of those guys that tells you the sky is green when it's actually blue, and he'll argue it until he's blue in the face. He's probably one of those guys. Don't tell me.
But again, that's also what makes you a bet. Because like you said, Jim Joyce, one of the best umpires, has one of the most famous blown calls of all time.
Yeah.
In the Galarraga perfect games instance. But it's the humanity of being able to admit that you were wrong instead of insisting that you were right 100% of the time and not being willing to accept that maybe you got a call wrong.
I just can't imagine, again, spending decades at a career, and when you walk away and say, I'm retiring, I'm hanging them up, it's time for me to go do something else, people are going, finally!
Universally.
Finally! What took you so long? What a waste. That's your legacy. Ugh. Just, again, for your family's sake, for anybody who you care about's sake, like, be better, do better. Don't let, like, your name go down in history as a guy who either famously was always wrong with the calls, or when told that they were wrong, was like, no, I'm not. Like, obstinate. It's just a really bad look. For your next night out, make Aria the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience. It captivates with culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. The restaurant transcends tradition and leans into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. So come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. You can learn more and make reservations at aria@stkate.com. That's aria@stkate.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months?
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brewers won the first game of the series against the Cubs yesterday on Memorial Day, welcoming Craig Counsell back to AmFam Field with a chorus of boos. The two teams are back at it tonight, 6:40 first pitch at AmFam Field. And as one of our loyal listeners on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, reminded me, there will be booing for the entire series, if for no other reason than there will be people at tonight's game who were not at yesterday's game. There will be people at game 3 who were not at game 1 or game 2. There will be people at game 4 who were not at any of the previous games and will still want and relish and take advantage of the opportunity presented to tell Craig Counsell and show Craig Counsell exactly how they felt about his decision.
Yeah, good. Exactly. No notes from yesterday. The way everybody handled everything, zero notes. Thought they knocked it out of the park. The way that the timing of when the video was played, the way the boos got louder as the video continued to play. No notes yesterday. Fantastic job. 10 out of 10.
How was the Cubs fans' attendance? Was it noticeable or no?
No.
Not really?
I don't think it was noticeable.
Probably will be as...
Yeah, potentially.
As the series goes on. Yeah.
Well, and remember, I had said on Friday that, you know, given who the two teams were facing this weekend, Brewers were at the Red Sox, Cubs were taking on the Cardinals. A couple of those games got rained out. There were long delays, et cetera, for weather. I said, well, these two teams could come in even Steven, just based on the, and not even close. Not even close. Brewers took care of business out in Boston and then came in. Now they have a 4.5 game lead on the Cubs. I think the more space that the Brewers put between themselves and the division rival, this is only going to be amplified. Like, the Brewers fans feel very wronged by Craig Counsell, but also vindicated by the way this team has played. You switch a manager, you know what's going to happen, right? You got Pat Murphy and Ricky Weeks in there manning the troops. You got a young team. They're dealing with a ton of injuries. How can you not be thrilled at what the Brewers have done early in the season? Now, it's only Memorial Day. There's still a lot of games left, Gabe, but I feel like right now Brewers fans are flying high with good reason.
Should be, because that's the first check-in point. Yesterday's the first check-in point with the standings. Okay. We're about 50 or so games into this thing. Let's check. Still a lot of baseball to be played. Sitting there at 31-22 with top of the division. Third best record in baseball. It's pretty good. In the National League, not in baseball. Third best record in the National League.
Still.
Yeah, feeling really good. Especially with all the injuries. And you're only expected to get healthier when a guy like Garrett Mitchell is going to come back to the lineup at some point. That starting staff is going to continue to get better. But then somebody like Robert Gasser comes up. He's been really damn good. It was spectacular yesterday for the Brewers. Great. So they've been able to navigate a lot of these different things and navigate those tough little stretches. And, you know, hopefully you can win two out of the next three against the Cubs, win three out of those four, and you're really making, you know, giving yourself a nice little cushion that you can use before you have the next check-in date around the 4th of July.
What's up with all the stealing, though? Like, they're going to steal, but they're getting picked off. Is that a difference? It happened to...
Terang.
Terang,
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, he got picked off. But,
it happened another time in the series before?
I mean, the difference is the Brewers are hyper-aggressive now because they have a lot of young guys with a lot of speed.
Is that a Murphy thing or is that an MLB thing?
A little bit of both. So
I love it. I think it's great.
With the pitching changes last year, they limited the per at-bat. You can only throw over so many times. They expanded the bases to make it a little bit easier to steal. And Murphy's taking a look at this roster going, well, we've got a young athletic guy here, young athletic guy here, young athletic guy here. So they're being very aggressive on the base
paths. The other one I was thinking is Yelich stealing home plate.
Though, that Major League Baseball implemented rules specifically to encourage people to be...
Yeah.
To have more activity on the base paths. Remember, they made the bases bigger.
Yeah, sure. I know, but it just seems like this is a difference between Council and Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Council probably would have been forced to be more aggressive with this specific team, just because, again, you have Terang, you have Churio.
Guys that can run.
You have a lot of guys that have athleticism and can go. Like, that's just part of how this team was going to have to succeed to begin with.
I wonder if they get yelled at like we used to, because Holmgren would say, you draw it up in the dirt. It better work.
Yeah, sure. I think that's pretty universal, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, like, Terang getting picked off is he had a key. They talk about it, and the pitcher threw him off. He changed his routine, which made it...
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not really going to yell at him for that, because he has a green light.
He's got the green light.
He's got the green light.
So, Josh, he makes a good point. This is a young, athletic team. They're obviously going to try to take advantage of their strengths versus opponents. I also want to point out that the 2023 season saw an 81% success rate for stolen bases, the highest since 1951. And that was the year you were born, wasn't it, Chu?
Yeah. Actually, 49. Feel good for me.
Because you're old.
Oh, I am old.
All right.
And you're hung.
Don't be in touch with Max Buddy in Milwaukee.